Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Chicago, and the result is good. Wow, what a game as the Brewers take game three of this four-game set and ensure themselves at least a tie of this four-game series against those guys. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen talking about a Brewers victory that I feel like I've been through the ringer here today. My goodness. What a victory for the crew today, battling the entire way. You forget even Adrian Hauser started this game. So much happened during this game. I get your results here at, or your reaction here at 414-799-1250. Brewers get a 6-5 victory here, a one game under 500 at 9-10, and hanging in there and battling. That's what you got to do. I will say this, and I don't want to dig into any major negativity here, but I was frowning on a couple of moves from Craig Counsell today, but the Brewers get away with it. They get away with the victory here after Adrian Hauser did start this game. Austin, Texas is with us. Do you feel like you just ran like a half marathon? Is that the way you feel?
Dude, I'm sweating. That game was wild. My heart was pumping for those last two innings.
Yeah, I definitely need a beer after this one. So a high life in my near future here as they bump this game up to a 2:20 start time. And they go into extras. Now in the extra frames, Brewers in 2020 here are 2-0 as they take care of the Chicago Cubs. Unbelievable baseball game here. Wow. Let's go back into our game recap. And again, want to get your reaction here, 414-799-1250. You are still reserving hope on the 2020 season, right? Of course you are. Tomorrow will be the one-third mark, 20 games in the books. And they're right there. Guys, they're right there. And two huge victories against that team. Nothing more pleasurable in my world and the game of baseball, and talking about Brewers baseball, when you can beat the Cubs. And then you back that up with another victory the very next day. We go way back. First inning. Brewers go 1-2-3. Hauser, all sorts of trouble in that first inning. He got a strikeout to Bryant. Rizzo then hits a solo home run opposite field. And then another strikeout. However, then a walk. Then a walk. Then an RBI double. Then another walk. Two in, two out, bases juiced. This is interesting. You never really see this from Craig Counsell in that first inning. He went out there, and by all looks and indications, it looked to me like he was ripping into Adrian Hauser. Did it, Austin, you watched the game. Did it look like to you as well as us that he was reading him the riot act, right?
Yeah, he looked like he was pretty fired up out there. He did look like he had some choice words to say to Hauser.
No more lip reading, as you can understand, but it was different. It looked like he got reamed, guys. It did. It did, and that's very rare for Craig Counsell to do that. Gets a ground ball to get out of that. It's 2-0 after one inning of work. Garcia and Smoke hit to right hard. The wind had a little impact in that second inning for both those players. A couple of men out. Ryan Braun then doubles, and then a nice defensive play for the final out, 2-0. You're thinking, where's some Brewer magic? Where's some Brewer's luck? Got to turn the worm here. Cubs then right back at Hauser. Aggressive early in the counts in the second. Kipnis, a leadoff base hit. One out later, Rizzo, an RBI double, all early in the counts. 3-0 now to the third. And at this point, you know what I'm thinking at this point? Thank goodness for Shark Week this week. That's what was running through my mind. Neither team scores in that third inning. Shouldn't surprise you with that offense, right? To the fourth, 3-0 Cubs. Brewers get after it in the fourth inning. With one out, Yelich, a base hit. And then a Garcia base hit. First and third them. Then with smoke down, 0-2 in the count, which he normally is this year. Yeah, he's been actually pretty hot. And in this game, he comes up with this.
Smoke sends one in the air, left center field. That's going to find the gap. That's down. Yelich is in. Garcia rounding third. He's being waved around. And a two-run double from Justin Smoke. And the Brewers get their first couple of runs of the game.
How about that swing? Another curveball. Smoke didn't try and pull it. And found the gap. And Garcia, who's got terrific speed, able to score from first base. A hanger. Goes right with it. That's just a beautiful piece of hitting by Justin Smoke. You try and pull that, it might be that double play ball. Goes right with it. Finds the gap. And Garcia has a good read on. You can see him right away. He knew it was down. And he's got terrific speed around third base to score without a throw.
A scorch and two-run double right there gets the Brewers right back into it. 3-2. That chased Colin Ray, the Cubs starter. Let's see. After the... Yelich base hit, David Ross did have men up in his bullpen, and I think that was an indication of, number one, Colin Ray in the game, but number two, how important this swing game was of sorts. You didn't see anybody up in the bullpen when Hauser was getting his brains beat in through the first two innings. That's just a little different. Gives way to Ryan Tapera, and Tapera walks Braun, two on, one out, two in for Sogard, and he strikes out on three pitches. Take strike three, and a horrible call. I don't know what the umpires are thinking these days, but Luis Urias doesn't let him off the hook. He steps up to the plate.
There's Luis Urias with a ground ball in the hole and through. Baez a base hit. Here comes Smoke, and this game is tied.
There you go. Urias able to put the ball in no man's land right between both Bryant and Baez. Base hit. Smoke scores.
Yeah, and that ties the game. A three-run fourth inning as we head to the bottom of the fourth inning in this one. Hauser, a shutdown inning, needed that in the bottom of the fourth. He labored in that inning. It was a three-up, three-down inning, but each of the Cub batters were at a full count and fouling and battling, but the inning did end with this.
And Rizzo, a liner, and Sogard goes up and pulls it down. Nice play by Eric Sogard, as for the first time this afternoon, Adrian Hauser retires the side in order. Sogard flashing the leather. We are through four, tied at Wrigley Field.
Man, all the highlights from Fox Sports Wisconsin. We're only mid-game here in our game recap, and you're already, your head is spinning in this one. Yeah, I get all amped up on these Cub matchups, that's for sure. Brewers a little something going in the fifth inning with two outs, walks to Yelly, and Garcia brings up Smoke on a 1-2 pitch. Smoke is caught looking. Another horrible call by umpires these days. Someone needs to take a look at what umpires are looking at because they need to improve. They need to do their job a little bit better. Video to the commissioner's office today. Anyway. Sorry about that. Hauser, a 1-2-3 fifth inning on four pitches into the sixth as this game is tied at three. You have to credit Adrian Hauser for battling through what was, looking like it was going to be a big-time blow-up outing. but he battled his way through the five innings, allowed the three runs. Brewers get the lead in the sixth inning. Leadoff double by Ryan Braun, his second on the day. Sogi lines out to third. I don't know what you're doing swinging outside there, Sogi. You got to get the ball to the right side to move him over, but so be it. That's not how baseball is played these days. Then a walk, first and second, just the one out. They move up on a wild pitch, get the ball in play. Orlando Arcia.
3-2 to Arcia on the ground, infield in, it sneaks through. Braun is in as the Brewers take the lead. RBI single from Arcia. It's 4-3 Brew Crew.
Yeah, I think Kipnis thinks he should have had that one. Right under the glove. Good job by Arcia to put the ball in play. It was a breaking ball, another hanger. It's up in the zone, but away. Look at Orlando just trying to put the bat on the baseball. Hits it to Kipnis. It's got to be an error, right? Maybe. RBI. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's a good piece of hitting. Just trying to lay the bat on the baseball. Goes right through him. And the Brewers take the lead. There you go.
Yeah, and about at that point where you were just about ready to head to Shark Week, the Brewers suddenly, after being down 3-0, they're up 4-3 into the bottom of the sixth inning. Hauser's day is done. Brent Suter on for the bottom half. And Suter strikes out the side in the bottom half, wrapped around an infield single. The Brewers go 1-2-3 in the seventh inning. Into the bottom, Suter coming back in a 4-3 game. Another scoreless frame for Brent Suter. Although did give up a couple of hits in that inning, he has struck out four through that point in his two innings of work. Now we're getting good here. Eighth inning, Brewers, a two-run base hit by Urias in the eighth inning. He has, to that point, two hits and a walk, but no runs scored. Suter back out for his third inning of work. Bottom of the eighth, falls behind Happ 3-0, comes all the way back to strike him out. What a huge strikeout for his fifth. He then gets a ground ball with a nice play from Sogard. And Suter's day is done. 2 2/3, scoreless. And here's where it gets a little dicey. A one-run lead, four outs to get. And Craig Counsell goes to the biggest, largest ERA in his arsenal. And that's Corey Knebel, 6.35. The next nearest ERA is Alex Claudio with like a 3.8. And it cost him. Corey gives up the lead. Steven Souza Jr., a home run. Then he walks a man and luckily gets out of it this way.
The curve is taken. On the move is Horner, and out at second. Narvaez cuts him down. So the Cubs took the risk with Bryant at the plate, running on 2-1. And Omar Narvaez having none of it. And he will lead off the ninth. 4-4.
That play right there, guys, I think was one of, if not the biggest play of this game. Because who believes that Corey Knebel wasn't going to allow another run or two? I think I see a lot of hands in the air right there. That was huge, guys, from Fox Sports Wisconsin there. Brewers 1-2-3 in the ninth inning. Phelps on for the bottom to try to get to extras in a tie ball game. And he gives up a leadoff base hit in the bottom half, but works out of it, including a strikeout to Schwarber to end that frame. And all of a sudden, we are into extras. Brewers with some hope here. And a man on second, as you know. Nobody out to start extras. Jefferson for the Cubs for his second inning of work to face Avisail Garcia. How about this?
Shoots one into right field toward the corner, and that is down, a fair ball. Yelich will score. Garcia into second, and it's 5-4 Brewers in the 10th.
There you go, the big hit by Garcia. That was a nice piece of hitting by Garcia to take that one down the right field line.
And there it is on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brewers up. 5-4. Then a smoke, frozen rope caught in the outfield for the first out of that 10th inning. That would have been another Brewers run. Okay, move on. Ben Gamel to pinch hit for Ryan Braun. There's no mistake here. Ben Gamel to pinch hit for Ryan Braun. And he strikes out. One in, one out, one on. Now it's two after the Gamel at bat. Sogard, then with a base hit. You're thinking Avisail Garcia is going to score, right? You got to send him there. You already have the lead. Eddie Cedar, you choose now to send him. Make him make a play here. You got the lead. He holds him right there. I am losing my mind at this point. It brings up Luis Urias. How about this for just a little karma as Urias gets his third hit and second RBI of the game?
One strike pitch, bouncing ball in the hole. Baez a sliding stop, but no play. Garcia's in, and an infield RBI single for Urias, his third hit of the game, and it's 6-4 Brewers.
Boy, that's a big run right there. Urias able to make contact just out of the reach. And no play for Javier Baez. Well, that pitch trying to bore in on his hands. He's able to pull the hands in and hit it hard enough. And no play anywhere. And another run in for Milwaukee.
Just a huge run right there. And it proved that was proven out because the Cubs did score against Alex Claudio. I was wondering who was going to pitch the bottom of the 10th inning. Yardley, maybe Phelps goes another rack. No, it's Alex Claudio. And he gives up a fly ball to Contreras, and the runner moves over. Then a ground ball to third, plates that run. Now it's 6-5. And, now you're dangerously close to a victory. And Alex Claudio gets it, striking out Bodie. And there's your Brewers' victory, 6-5 final. A lot of turning points in this one, but I got to say, I don't know if it's the runner thrown out to protect us from another Corey Knebel blow up. I'm going to call that the Great Lakes Dragway turning point. I really believe in that. That caught stealing. Narvaez pegs the runner in that eighth inning to limit some damage and keep a tie game right there. That may have been game, guys. It might have. Great Lakes Dragway turning point. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Track and event details, track rental and event details at greatlakesdragway.com. 414-799-1250. Let's squeeze in one call before the break here. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. A lot of twists and turns. Now what do you think about the Brewers? See how quickly it changes. In 48 hours, you get a couple of wins over the Chicago Cubs, and you're right back to, well, sort of winning. Are you not? More importantly, here's the way I see these things. You've played six games against the Chicago Cubs this year, and some people think they're one of, if not the best team in baseball. You're 3-3 against them. Immediately 3-3. And maybe even more importantly is that the 10 games against the Twins, Cubs, and Twins again, you're over halfway home, and you're 3-3 in those games. I mean, just saying, you're starting to feel things turn around just a little bit, are you not? Let's get to our buddy Beer Count Kenny. And on a day like today, the beer count's got to be pretty high, especially facing the Cubs and getting a win in extras. Kenny in West Bend, what's happening?
Timmy, you couldn't have said it better. The beer count's up there. My buddy Pat and I, we were hammering down beers left and right because this is a nail-biter from the word go.
Was.
And you know what? What absolutely got my attention, and I know you said the Narvaez play was a turning point. I have never been necessarily a great fan of Craig Counsell. But when he went out there and he told his kid, and I don't think he lit him on fire in the way that you think. I think what he said to him is he goes, kid, you've got all the tools. What are you doing? Stay with the pitch, do what you do best, and continue to move through the motions. This nonsense where you're missing corners, you're not hitting things, you're not following up, I think that for Craig Counsell to go out there and do what he did, I'm all in on Craig Counsell now. I wanted to see fire out of this guy from three, four years ago. Seeing what he did today, I love it. And you know what? That builds chemistry, and that tells the team, hey, we're all in this, guys, and not with the China virus. We're all in this as a team. So stay focused. We can win these games. We've got games to win. The Cubs aren't all that. Yeah,
day by day. Kenny, it's day by day. I mean, we shouldn't. All right, Kenny, I got to turn you loose. Enjoy your beer count. I am going to join you on that beer count soon. I can tell you that. Did that change your opinion of Council? Let's roll the clock back to Thursday's game. Game one of this four-game set. I, along with you guys, if you listen to the show, we sensed something with Council in that dugout. We asked the question that night, at what point does he have his breaking point? Do you recall that conversation? Those of you that listen on a regular basis, those of you getting it on Monday morning on your way to work here on the radio.com app, the Rewind. But we were wondering about that because we heard something different about Counts on Thursday. And I just wonder if it's been bubbling up a little bit. And I wonder if it bubbled up sitting there with Hauser, you know, not going to his strengths, the hard sinker, screwing around with sliders and missing. And, you know, I think that was just a, it was more than an execution thing, I think, early on for Hauser. And I think Craig Council may have earned some stripes, like Kenny right there. He may have earned some stripes with some players or with some fans. 414-799-1250. We'll take our first break here. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Craig Council. I'm sure he's going to be asked about what was said early on to Hauser. But the Brewers get it done in extras. They beat the Cubs 6-5, the final. This was a mind bender. this was a twister, and we're glad the Brewers are on the better side of this outcome. 6-5 final as the Brewers beat the Cubs. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind post game show. Tim Allen here on the Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing, Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the game on the Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
The Brewers get a 10-inning, 6-5 victory to take game three of this four-game set. As they have a chance to take the series with one win tomorrow. Now think about how that buttons up into an off day on Monday. They would get off to a decent road trip on the 10-gamer, four here against Chicago, three against Minnesota, three against Pittsburgh. So they'd be 3-1 into the 10-gamer. And maybe more importantly, in the 10 games against the Twins, Cubs, and Twins, they would be 4-3 with a victory tomorrow. And a possibility to make hay plus 500 on a 10-game stretch against two of the best teams in all of baseball. Huge game tomorrow. Sets up a huge game. 6-5, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. We're talking about it here on a Saturday night. All right, Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the game with Gene Wagner Plumbing. Really comes down to, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the extra inning rule in a 162. I am a fan of it this year, and I'll double down on that. I'll tell you, I'm just sort of fired up about it when you get into it. So maybe it's growing on me to actually take a tinker with this thing to put it into play for a regular season moving forward. It is something. Now your heart's beating, and there's a runner at second, but that's a leadoff double every half inning, guys. But oh, how the game has changed. You rewind the clock 15, 20, 25, 30 years. I'm not talking old man speak. I'm just telling you what is. The game has changed to the point where Earl Weaver, Sparky Anderson, Tommy Lasorda, Jimmy Leland, these types of guys, there's no doubt in my mind they 9 times out of 10 they would bunt the runner over, get the lead, and we'll play for the bottom half. Or we'll go for the win right there. If it is the bottom half. That's crazy. The Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Bottom of the 8th inning, Brent Suter goes 2 2/3 scoreless. One more batter for the Raptor to button it up. Or You go to an Eric Yardley through seven or eight appearances with a 1.08 ERA to get you out of that eighth inning. Instead, you go to the 6.35 earned run average of Corey Knebel. Are you kidding me? That almost cost this baseball team the game. They've recovered. They did recover, and they obviously won this game. They picked it up. But that was like, wow. You can't tell me you weren't shaking your head on that move right there. I don't mind Corey Knebel. I think he's on his way back. He's on the mend from Tommy John. But he's one of the guys you go to mid-game. He's one of the fifth, sixth inning guys for now. Because I think by the end of this run, give him another 2-3 weeks, I think he is going to be pretty good. He's just not good right now. And you thrust him into a road game, and I know this, Council probably only wanted one out from him in that bottom of the eighth inning. Man, I would not have went there. Was it the first pitch? I believe it was the first pitch. It didn't take long. And that game was tied. But they recovered. Are you kidding me with Gene Wagner Plumbing? So the Brewers get the win over the Chicago Cubs. We're going to hear from Craig Council. I'm sure he'll chop up that situation. And he'll also talk about, you know, what exactly was said. I'm sure he'll, I think he'll downplay it. It was a learning moment. That's what I'm going to guess. And we're going to hear from Craig Council in just a couple of minutes here. But I'm sure he's going to downplay that to a learning moment. That things need to be. So he just needed a reminder or two. And the body language didn't look like it was just a friendly reminder to us. It didn't. So Hauser did buckle down after that. And he did end up going the five innings and giving up only those three runs that he gave up in the first and second. That was it. Three scoreless after that. You got to commend, number one, Council for going out and laying it out there. But number two, you got to commend Adrian Hauser for battling, buckling down. I mean, the one inning, four pitch inning in the fifth, I would have considered throwing him out. You threw him out there for the fifth. Now, may have been just the portion of the batting order for the Cubs that made you a little bit nervous. But let's hear from Craig Council up next here as the Brewers get the victory. Game three goes to the Crew. They fall in game one on Thursday. One-run victories yesterday and today. Man, what a difference a couple of games make. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show after a 6-5, 10-inning victory for the Crew. We're going to hear from Craig Council. Can't wait for this. As he's got to be pretty pleased. And don't look now, Justin Smoke starting to heat up. Just saying. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
6-5 final. The Brewers take game three. That's two in a row over the Chicago Cubs. 414-799-1250 if you want to react on this one. A lot of twists and turns in this one. Luis Urias, the young infielder, came over in the Zach Davies deal. I'm going to name him the Chevy MVP of this game. Brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. 3-for-4 in the game. Two RBIs, a run scored. Dude had his day. And he needs to. Now, you talk about you wanting Council to make some changes here. Okay, that's the one change I'm going to make. I'll tell you guys, now that we're, you know, one game shy of 20 games, a third mark into the shortened season, I think I've formulated not necessarily a batting order, but a starting lineup that, you know, just this is just me and you may differ from this, that I feel pretty comfortable with letting these guys out there and playing with this configuration because of Urias. It looks like he can handle it. It really does. He's had the taste of the big leagues last year with the San Diego Padres, but it really looks like he's involved in a lot of this stuff. You know, where there's a Brewer rally as of late, it looks like he's either right in the middle of it or right there at the periphery of it. So I got to play him, and I got to play him at second base. And I got to play Orlando Arcia at shortstop. And I have to play Eric Sogard at third base. And I've got to play Justin Smoke at first. And I've got to play Narvaez behind the dish. Ryan Braun's in right, Garcia in center, and Yelly in left. To me, that would be the most productive lineup, starting lineup that I could come up with. The batting order, the actual order itself, I'm a big fan of Avisail Garcia in the leadoff spot. I am. And we'll read the box score coming up. He fills the stat sheet. He does. And he's finally starting to do that. But that would be my configuration that I would be most comfortable with. Yelich, Garcia, and Braun. Left to right in the outfield. Around the diamond, Sogard, Arcia, Urias, Smoke, and Narvaez. And Keston Hira would have a DH title. Just for now. Just saying. I don't know if we... Yeah, we should get to Craig Counsell right now. So let's do that. Because I need to hear what Counsell said to Hauser and what he had to say about Corey Knievel. Let's get the scoop from the skipper here on The Fan.
Hey, Craig, I think that was Alex's first save since April of 18. Can you talk a little bit about just how you kind of pieced the bullpen together there the last couple innings? Obviously, Josh was down, and it looked like probably Devin as well.
Yeah, those guys were both down. I think the 10th there, it was Alex was going to face the first three hitters, and then Eric Yardley was going to have after that. They had obviously being a switch hitter and thought we'd probably get a pinch hitter for Hayward. So there was kind of no matchups for the first three hitters. But Alex did a great job. I mean, that's the bottom line. Like he kept the ball down. He was stubborn with the ball down. Contreras hit the ball well. He made a nice play on. And so that's kind of how we were going through that. The guys, our bullpen did a heck of a job again. They really did. That's one run in five innings. That's getting it done.
Craig, you had mentioned just the past couple of days, Garcia hitting the ball harder than he had been the past, first couple of weeks of the season. Just a matter of time, I guess, for him to come through for you guys now.
Yeah, I think we got a couple guys that have really started to come out of it. I'd put Justin Smoke in the same category as Avi, where the at-bats are just different looking at-bats. And so that's both really good signs, both guys that are in the middle of the lineup that, that's why we put up seven runs today is because those guys are swinging the bat well. So, It was an encouraging day from that perspective. And Avi, that the hit off JJ to start that inning was the big one. Was the big one for sure.
That's the kind of day that you envision when you trade for a guy like Urias, isn't it? First big kind of breakout for him.
Yeah, well, he just impactful for sure. I thought he was just impactful today with his a couple of kind of infield hits, but they were squared up the ball, and the last ball was hit pretty good too. So. Yeah, he had a big game, and that was an important hit. That second run was obviously, that was the difference. So that second RBI was a big one.
Other than Rizzo today, what did you think of Adrian's performance?
Well, yeah, I mean Rizzo's a good hitter, so I thought, those guys are paid to get you, and. I thought the big thing about Adrian's performance was I just thought he got a little – the first inning got him a little out of whack. Just, there was a couple of close pitches that I thought affected him a little bit. And we got out of that inning with just a two spot. And then as the game went on, he got better. By the time, he got through the fifth inning, there was some debate whether to even take him out of the game. He was throwing the ball so well. I thought his sinker to the big thing with Adrian is the sinker to the lefties has to be effective, right? And I think it wasn't early and it was late. So that's how his start went. The ball had some real bottom to it as the game kind of went on, almost as he got a little bit tired. So he threw the ball well, and again, it, we had another starter that kept us in a game and did their job.
I know it's still early in the season. Craig,
sorry, just to follow up on that. Craig, that looks like it was a pretty one-sided conversation when you went out to talk to him. Was the message just like, get back to your strengths, or what did you want to get across to him there?
I wanted to just get him in the moment as much as anything. As you know, when stuff's not going good, I think you can get out of the moment and you kind of get stuck on the past. You get stuck on the last batter a little bit. So I just, you know, I was just out there to get him in the moment. That was the purpose. And to kind of look ahead, to the next hitter. So that was the purpose of the visit.
I know it's still early in the season, but to get two straight comeback wins over the team right in front of you in standings, just how encouraging, how big is this to kind of turn these two games from losses into wins there in the late inning?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I love about them is that they're very much team wins. Lots of people doing really good things to contribute to them. This is the team that's played really well to start off the season in the Cubs. They've been the best record to start the season. They're playing really well. Their offense has been really dangerous. Their starting pitching has been really dangerous. And so it's, you know, you come down here and you got a chance to take 3 out of 4 from them. We've played well. We've done our jobs.
Torrey obviously is healthy and he's still working his way back from the Tommy John. Do you think he's still, you know, kind of feeling his way here as he gets more and more into the season?
I don't know. I mean, I thought today was that he made a bad pitch. The first pitch, he made a bad pitch. It was pretty close to a middle pitch, maybe a little bit away, but it was just a middle pitch. And you know, any time of the season, any point in your recovery process, you can't make that pitch. So, I think he's been throwing the ball better, and I think he's throwing the ball well. I thought he just made a bad pitch tonight.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
All right, there's Craig Counsell. Get in the moment conversation in the first inning to Adrian Hauser. And yeah, I agree with that sort of sentiment. What just happened, the walk you just had, that's done already. That's got to be so tough for those guys. You know, you get an umpire that misses a call, and I'm not saying that that's why Hauser was off. I'm just saying, for example, umpire misses a call, or a guy gets a flare base hit, or an excuse me check swing double down the line, or something like that. It is mentally tough to put that behind these guys. You know, I wouldn't be able to do it, and that's why they're there, and I'm here because, wow, that was a nice conversation from Craig Counsell in that first inning. Now he ended his. Comments there with Corey Knebel throwing the ball well. No, not yet. If he's playing catch with his kid, maybe he's throwing the ball well, but not in the big leagues. And what's his ERA now, Austin?
7.5.
7.5. That's not throwing the ball well. That's just not. I mean, maybe it's semantics there, but it's a results-driven industry. That, to me, doesn't define throwing the ball well. Just saying. Hey, you guys know me. All right, let's check out the numbers going inside the box as the Brewers get a 6-5 victory. Omar Narvaez in that leadoff spot. He goes 0-5 in this one. Keston Hira, 0-5. Christian Yelich, 1-4 with a couple of runs scored and a walk. Avisail Garcia, 2-4. 2 runs scored, 1 RBI and a walk. That's more like Avi. Right there. That's the kind of player I expected to get here when the Brewers signed him from Chicago. The White Sox, that is. And I remember talking about him when they signed him. You're going to like this guy. Told my buddies, told our little Brewer family here that you guys are going to like this guy. I think he should be the leadoff man every game. Lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. That's just me, though. Justin Smoke starting to heat up. 1-for-5 with a run scored. 2 big RBIs in this baseball game. Ryan Braun goes 2-for-3 with a run scored. Also drew a walk. We're going to hear from Ryan Braun in just a bit. Eric Sogard goes 1-for-5. Luis Urias, 3-for-4. Let's see. A couple of runs batted in. Also drew a walk. Wow. We'll take that out of the young infielder. Arcia goes 0-for-5 with an RBI. Ben Gamel goes 0-for-1. Pitching lines today, Adrian Hauser, the starter, goes 5 innings, allows only 3 runs on 5 hits. It looked like it was going to be a lot worse than that, didn't it? 3 walks and 5 strikeouts. Crazy how he battled his way back to, you know, keep, again, Craig Counsell said it again, and I'm with him all the way. Keep your team in a ball game. That's what he did. It didn't look good early. I was losing my mind early. You were probably too. Keep him in the ball game, and he did just that. Gives way to Brent Suter, 2 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. Corey Knebel, there he is, 1/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 1 run. It was earned, 1 walk, and no strikeouts. David Phelps, 1 inning, 1 hit, no runs, no walks with a strikeout. Alex Claudio, 1 inning, no hits, a run unearned in this new extras configuration. Also had a strikeout and no walks. Brewers get 6 runs on 10 hits, no errors. The Cubs, 5 runs on 10 hits, 1 error. The win goes to David Phelps. He is now 2-1. The loss to Jeremy Jeffress. He is now 1-1. Alex Claudio records his first save as the Brewers now run their mark to 9-10 through the first 19 games. And staying around that 500 mark is paramount to set yourself up for a final couple of week run to get 5-6 games over 500, put yourself in a better playoff position. They're doing their job. As bad as this offense has been this year, they're doing their job. You got to credit someone so far for sort of hanging in there through the first almost 20 games here. We'll take a break. By the way, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, will join us in just a little while. The reason? Kenny Clark and the Green Bay Packers come up with an agreement that Kenny's happy, the team is happy. Mike Clemens with all the details, as we'll have breaking news on the Fan. That's on the way. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen with a Brewers 10-inning 6-5 win over the Cubs. I love saying that here on the Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Window Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Window Select today at 262-703-3500.
You know, at some point, it's not going to matter how they play. It's only if they win. So I'm not quite sure we're at that point yet. You'd like to see the offense get rolling a little bit. There still is still 41 games remaining in the 2020 championship season. And at some point, we'll cross that bridge where it really doesn't matter how it looks. if they're going to win ugly, then win ugly. I'm not saying this victory was an ugly win, but I'm just saying I know your expectations aren't really being met all the way with the makeup of this roster quite yet. But when you can get a win, a couple of wins, you start adding up the windows of time here. And being a big Brewers fan, you know that. We're going to, in large part, focus on the positives here. But we are going to point out some of our concerns. There's no question about that. But when you look at the competition, and this is the way I look at this, and this is the way we have to take this, it's almost a day by day, and then take inventory. If you take inventory of facing the Twins and the Cubs in 6 straight games, and I don't think there's many teams that would be dissatisfied with coming out of those six pack of games with a 3-3 mark. And that's where you're at right now. It's exactly where you're at. You face 2 of the best teams in all of baseball. Of course, there's going to be bumps in the road there. And I think that's something that I've got to remind myself also. Now there's 4 games left in that 10 games. one left here in Chicago, and then they head up to Minneapolis and three against those Twins again. Their Twins are just as good as the Chicago Cubs are. It's amazing, guys. It really is truly amazing. It's almost like every at-bat with these two teams facing the Minnesota Twins offense and the Chicago Cubs offense, it's seemingly every at-bat is like a Jesus Aguilar 2018 13-pitch at-bat, isn't it? Just foul after foul after battle after battle. That's the grind this team is in right now, and I think we should understand that. I'm trying to do a little more of that myself. Before we hear from Ryan Braun, inserted back into the lineup and actually pretty productive today, let's get Todd in here from Watertown, been with us for many, many years. Todd, what's on your mind? 6-5 Brewers win.
Howdy, Timmy. That was a great win. And, you know, there are a lot of bumps in the road, and I truly believe that it's not necessarily their players themselves, but we've had a shift in leadership. You know, look at the guys we've lost, Lorenzo Cain, you know, Pat Murphy, big guy that's gone. I don't think anybody's really mentioned him. That's council's kind of whoopee there to help him out with things, and he's been doing it on himself. And he, I totally believe in chemistry, and, you know, that's why I love Orlando. But if you look at today's game and yesterday's game, it's kind of coming together. Everybody's kind of feeling themselves out. And, you know, Council treats, he's a wonderful manager because he treats everybody differently because he's a cerebral guy. He gets inside their head, you know, just like with how we treated, you know, like with Knievel. Well, he pitched well, whatever. We all know he didn't. But did he say that? Maybe Knievel's a fragile guy and only Council would know that. Hauser, he went out there and got up his butt. And he knows that he can do that. And you know, just like Lombardi, that's how he treated his players. You treat everybody differently because you know their strengths and weaknesses. And I think if we give it a little bit of time here, it's all turning around. It really is. It feels like it is.
It does. And we're seeing the offense start to put together some crooked number innings, and it was almost painful. Well, it was painful at times seeing these guys set the table first and third, and, you know, nobody out, and it's a ground ball double play. Yeah, you get a run and kiss your sister, and you get a run, but the bases are clear and two men are out, and that's the way the struggles have been throughout this year. However, recently, you're right. Hey, Todd, I gotta let you go. We gotta get to Braun, we gotta get to Mike Clemens. I will say this also, that, you know, I sat down with Craig Counsell early on in his managerial career, and I was curious about this. When we were, talking about a number of things, I brought up how he manages people, how he manages the players as people, and how often, I think the question was, how often do you have to get into some of your players or get on one of them? And he said it's different. Todd, you're right. He said it's different for it depends on the player. He said, yeah, I need to get into somebody if it's warranted. Yeah, you may not see it, Tim. Well, for a number of reasons, but you may not see it. But it's there. I do have to lay down the gauntlet, lay down the Johnny Law a little bit at times, and then other times we need to stay positive on this thing. So it does depend on the player. And I you guys know my philosophy on Craig. He's a good dude. He's a good family guy, good dude. And I think he's going to be a great manager. He's not quite there yet. I don't think Corey Knievel, and I will say this for a week, the 6.35 ERA says you're not putting him into a Cub game in the eighth inning of a one-run game. When you're four outs away from a victory, a much-needed victory. The 6.35 ERA doesn't play right there. The 6.35 ERA plays last week against the Reds when you're down 12-0. That's just me, though. But, all right. It worked out. The Brewers did recover and got the win. Ryan Braun back in the lineup. A couple of hits, a couple of doubles. Drew a walk. Right back into the mix. Needs to play a little bit more. Here's Brawny after the win.
Hey, Ryan, we all know how much you like hitting at Wrigley Field there. How anxious were you to get back in the lineup today?
I mean, I'm always anxious to get back in the lineup, especially when we're scuffling offensively. Just a matter of trying to find my timing and rhythm and start to get a little bit better with my pitch recognition. So I'd say today was the first game all year where I felt like my approach was in a good place.
Just getting two comeback wins in a row, what can it do to kind of provide a spark for y'all moving forward after kind of scuffling a little bit early?
It's encouraging. I think the last few years, that's kind of been a staple for us, something that we've been able to do, just steal some wins late in games, continue to compete, continue to believe that we're going to come back. We've really been scuffling offensively, so to see that happen a couple times, I think it's something that we can build on, continue to get more confident as a group. And again, obviously, in a shortened season, every win is of the utmost importance and significance, especially the ones that look unlikely.
Ryan, there's obviously a lot of high hopes for Luis Urias. Big day for him today. How cool is that to see him deliver in a big situation?
Really cool. I think his approach has looked great so far. He's had some really good at-bats. I was on second base. He took a really close, tough 3-2 pitch, which is encouraging. I feel like he has a really good foundation offensively, good plate discipline and good bat-to-ball skills. He got some really big hits for us tonight, and he's been great, obviously, in a small sample size that we've seen so far.
Is your finger feeling okay?
Yeah, it feels good. Fingers, non-issue. It was just more timing and rhythm. Throwing was more of an issue than swinging, so I just needed to be able to throw well enough to be able to play defensively. But everything went well today.
Ryan, we talked to Justin the other day, and he said, you know, despite how the offense has been going, he said with the talent you have and the pitching you have, you know, this is a lineup that if you get going, you could, you know, get a streak going of 5, 6, maybe up to 10 games. I mean, do you see that maybe coming out more with what you've seen the last couple of days?
I hope so. I mean, we're all optimistic. We're all continuing to stay confident. You know, I think it's encouraging actually that collectively we've struggled to this point, because when that happens, you hope you can get 5 or 6 guys going good at the same time. And that's what leads to prolonged winning streaks or putting together a stretch of scoring more runs. Our pitching's been great to this point. I think we're all very encouraged by what we've seen from our pitching staff. We just need to do our part as an offense. And we've seen glimpses of it over the last few days. So hopefully we can continue to build from here. Obviously, with everything happening this year, there are so many adjustments everybody has to make. The game itself feels drastically different than it's ever felt before. So I do think the longer each of us experiences that, the higher the likelihood. We figure out routines and we're able to get back to just competing, which is something that we've done well.
With Hader obviously down, it looked like Devin too. Claudio gets his first save, I think, since April of 2018. Council did a really good job of kind of piecing that game together with what he had in the bullpen, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, obviously. It's a different game for us when we know Josh is unavailable. But almost all those guys in the bullpen have really been throwing the ball well for us. I'm actually really confident every time Claudio comes in the game. I think he gets a lot of soft contact. And there's plenty of other guys out there with good arms. I'm excited to see Drew Rasmussen pitch and Angel Perdomo. Those are guys with potentially dominant stuff. So there's some real depth in our bullpen right now. It's really a strength for us. And it was encouraging to see Alex come into a big situation, obviously, and get saved for us there.
Hey, Ryan, I think around the time you went to Appleton or went on the IL even, you know, Avi Garcia was struggling a bit at the plate, but it seems the last couple of days he's been, you know, hitting the ball harder, back to what he's accustomed to doing. Just curious your take on him and if it was just a matter of time for him to get going from your perspective.
Yeah, he's looked really good. Again, I think for all of us, there's so many adjustments you have to make. The game itself, to me, feels drastically different than it's ever felt before. So just trying to have the same level of focus and intensity is an adjustment for everybody. He's looked really good, obviously, over the last few days. I think that hit was actually the first hit that JJ had given up all year. So tells you how well he'd been throwing the ball. So the fact that he stayed on a ball, hit a hard line drive the other way is definitely a good thing. And it came in a huge moment for us. So obviously he's going to, in all likelihood, hit in the middle of our lineup all year. So really important that we can get him going. And he's looked great the last few days.
All right, there he is, Ryan Braun. And when have you known Ryan Braun to be negative? Everything is basically positive with Brawny. Man, get in there. Get in there and do some damage. I'd like to see him elsewhere than the sixth spot. But he's in there at least, and we'll take that. All right, up next, some breaking news on the fan. Breaking news with the Green Bay Packers. Mike Clemens, our insider, will join us and give you the happy news. Defense is going to have a mainstay for the next several years. Mike Clemens will give you all the details coming up. Meantime, you're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers beat the Cubs. I love saying that. You guys know that. 6-5, the final. They go after the series with a victory tomorrow. And some good news on the bullpen. I'll give you that on the way as well. We'll be back. AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
Yeah, welcome back. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, 6-5 in 10 innings. The Brewers get it done over the Cubs today. It's game three of this four-game set, shot at the series tomorrow with a big game to get back to 500, get into that off day, get up on this 10-game gauntlet at 4-3 with three remaining against the Twins. So a lot riding on tomorrow's game. Spark of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. Plenty of sparks in this game. And I'm going to, you know, I'm leaning toward Brent Suter. I mean, 2 2/3, 5 strikeouts, no runs. I mean, that really was a big-time spark. Luis Urias, a 3-hit game. How about Ryan Braun, a couple of doubles? How about Justin Smoke continues to swing a good bat here as of late? Alex Claudio with the save. There's many sparks in this victory with Current Electric. So you pick out of those 5. And we'll go from there. All right, let's hit the Great Midwest Bank hotline and check it in with some breaking news on the fan. Breaking news brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oil made with natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We go to our green and gold insider. It's Mike Clemens. Mike, some big news with regards to the Green Bay Packers and Kenny Clark.
Yeah, we were at practice this morning. It was their first practice session of this training camp. Helmets and shorts. They'll put on the pads in a couple of days. And we saw the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, come out to the field and pull his defense in just after warm-ups. And then you saw a bunch of pats on the back and everything. And the next thing you know, our phones are going crazy. Kenny Clark signs a new contract deal. Now, we asked him about it after practice. He said, yeah, you know, he and the agent have been talking to Russ Ball and the Packers for months. But within the last week, things got pretty intense. And he said he had a long day yesterday. Kenny went home. And just went to bed about 7 or 8 o'clock, and he was ignoring his phone. And finally, about 11 o'clock or midnight, he thought, "Well, I better check on this because his phone was blowing up." And he called back his agent and said, "Kenny, we got to get this done, man. They want to do this now." So the agent read the numbers to him. Kenny said, "Yeah, let's do it, man." So Kenny came in this morning and signed a deal: 4 years, $70 million, a $25 million signing bonus. He's just 24 years old. And the Packers have made him the highest paid nose tackle in the history of the NFL. He's the 12th highest paid defensive player in the NFL.
Just a young guy, too. I recall after they drafted him, Mike, that he was, what, 20? I want to say about 20 years old. That's just amazing.
Just 20. Talked to his mom. She was crying. He can't get in contact with his father, who's still serving a prison term. And because of COVID, there's restrictions to talking to an inmate, but he's hoping to connect with him. But, yeah, you know, since the day Kenny Clark walked in the door, there's a maturity about the young man that you appreciate, and how hard he's working for his family and the difficult situation he came from. He kind of reminds me a lot of Dave Robinson from the Lombardi era.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, you're there in Green Bay. And any other news? What's up with Jordan Love?
Well, it was the kid's first NFL practice, right? So there he is with the red jersey. And, you know, he's got a nice arm, smooth with the footwork, learning. But really the star, the play of the day today is Tim Boyle, the backup quarterback. And he sets and throws and zings one about 50 yards down the middle of the field on a post pattern to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who needs all the bonuses he can, and pulls it in for a touchdown. Now, MVS caught a couple of other balls, like from Aaron Rodgers. And this, I don't know, man. I don't know if this guy's hands are ever going to get to be where they need to be. I mean, he's kind of ham-handed with, you know, shots over the middle. He can't just be a one-trick pony, this track star who can, you know, pull in the bomb. If he's going to be a number two or a number three, he's going to have to improve his short game. Pull in the football like Donald Driver does, like Devontae Adams does these days. Hey, this was a surprise, though. The first snap, oh, look at this. Billy Turner kicked out from right guard to right tackle. Lane Taylor, who lost his job at left guard last year, Felton Jenkins, a rookie, he's lining up at right guard. First couple of snaps with Aaron Rodgers in the first team. Then they switch around, you know, Adams leaves and Jake Kumerow comes and all that. It's still sort of the first team, second team offense with Aaron Rodgers. Then they take Billy Turner, they move him into back to his right guard position from last year, and then that's when they brought in Rick Wagner, the West Dallas native, you know, Badgers, Detroit Lions, the free agent they picked up. Then he got the snaps. And after practice, LaFleur said, hey, man, you know, we're just trying stuff, but, yeah, it's truly an open competition on the right side of their line. Now a tight end with Jimmy Graham gone, you know, they're really going to count on Robert Tonyan, who made a huge catch against the Cowboys but had a hip injury for the rest of the season. Mercedes Lewis is out there. And they're trying to get Jay Sternberger back on the field. I saw him running sprints. He's on that COVID-19 reserve list, which we don't quite understand when and how you get these guys back on. It's kind of a detailed thing between the league and the general manager. But they made some cuts today, including James Looney. He's a kid that was they drafted in the seventh round 2 years ago out of Cal, and they switched him from defensive lineman over to tight end last fall. But he, obviously, you know, he's not going to make that transition. So they cut him today with a couple other players so they can keep that roster to 80, get these guys back from the COVID list, and keep it under 80 so they don't have to split it for squad. And one last thing, we talked to Aaron Rodgers late this afternoon, and we just talked about how practice is going and getting ready for that Vikings game in 4 weeks. And, Tim, this is like the second or third time we've talked to him now in the last month. You ask him a question, he goes, yeah, I remember back in 2005 and this. And I remember that. I mean, he's going down memory lane with all his answers. And I'll tell you, buddy, my spider senses are, is this the last dance? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're just trying to get the season started. And they got to play the Vikings in 4 weeks. But there's an awful lot of nostalgia for this guy. And I think part of it is because it's so weird up here. You know, we're in the stands where there's supposed to be 5,000 fans out there and kids with the bikes. And the place was a ghost town. It was great for me. You know, it's kind of that Ray Nitschke Field is just like, the nice facility you've got for Maryvale and the Brewers during spring training. You just pull right up, you walk in, you go to work, you talk to players, you watch a game, you know, and that's the way it was today. Usually we got to fight all these autograph-seeking crowds and stuff, but I think that's part of it, too. I think he's missing the way camp has been. But at the same time, it just plants a thought in the back of your mind, like, you wonder if he's one and done after this year.
Similar situation, Mike. Just to finish up here, similar situation with Ryan Braun earlier this year in February and early March prior to the shutdown. He was talking about those same type of things. Like this might be my last spring training, my last playing in Maryvale, and my last opening day, and things like that. Boy, a couple of MVPs, a couple of Wisconsin legends. We should pinch ourselves. We might be seeing the last of them.
Yeah. So the guys will have tomorrow afternoon off, and we're back at it on Monday, and then they'll probably be in pads later in the week, and then, you know, we'll start getting some physical football going and take it from there.
Mike, you're the best, man. We'll hear your reports all week long here on The Fan.
Thank you, Tim.
You got it. There's Mike Clemens, the insider here on The Fan with that breaking news. Kenny Clark, the highest-paid nose tackle in NFL history, $25 million richer, guaranteed for Kenny Clark. Happy for that young man. All right, Brewers get the victory here today over the Cubs. We'll bounce around the Central. Guess who was playing baseball? Back to playing baseball for those guys. And then other guys in the Central, well, they're not. We'll tell you all about it next here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Well, we tend to focus in on the National League Central as we welcome you back in. Final couple of minutes here as the Brewers get the victory in Game 3 of this four-game set to take a 2-1 lead in the series, and they can pop them in the nose tomorrow. Wouldn't that be something? Jump out to like an 8-0 lead through four innings. Is that a pipe dream? We'll find out. All right, Austin, Texas, producing the show today around the Central.
All right, Tim, we will start with the Reds and the Pirates. They were supposed to play this afternoon. That game was postponed due to a positive test from the Cincinnati Reds. Today's game and tomorrow's game both canceled.
Yeah, that's never good, but we'll see what happens. Reserve some judgment as you take it day by day. But yeah, I had read about the Reds positive and the postponements today and tomorrow. St. Louis, however, on the other hand, is back playing baseball.
They are, Tim, and they had a doubleheader to start off today. Game one was 5-1 Cardinals, final in seven. Adam Wainwright gets his second win of the season. Giolito gets his second loss. He's now 1-2. To the afternoon game, the Cardinals won again. So go figure, the Cardinals 2-0 to start back up here. They are now 4-3. They won by a total of 6-3 in game two. Cabrera got the win, Marshall with the loss, and Miller with the save.
All right, so there it is, bouncing around the NL Central, and we know what happened here. The Brewers over the Cubs 6-5. Lindblom against Lester tomorrow, game four, big time. If you look at the Brewers bullpen setting up for tomorrow, I told you I had some good news. Yardley available, just over a buck ERA. Devin Williams available. Josh Hader's available. In fact, if you wanted to go Phelps again, I think he's probably available if needed tomorrow for a hitter or two. It's all about the offense again. Get the lead late, and you're in decent shape. Hader, with 35 pitches yesterday, was not available today. He back up and ready to go for tomorrow because the Brewers have an off day on Monday. So, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show will get you ready for Game 4 at noon tomorrow. And first pitch, 1:20 at Wrigley Field. After the last pitch, you make the switch. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Where we're hopefully going to be talking about a series victory, Brewers over the Cubs. For Austin, Texas, my name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.